Last week was the Venus Neptune conjunction and also the Sun Saturn conjunction and also Valentine's Day, right around that time. So I would love to know if you feel called to share with the community any stories or manifestations that you saw in your life around Valentine's Day, and was the Venus Neptune conjunction super creative and flowing for you, or was it more of a sort of disillusion of a fantasy? I posted that I thought it was interesting that Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox had like big breakup rumors around the time of the Venus Neptune conjunction, because I feel like their whole relationship has been very Venus Neptune kind of fantasy, kind of like is this real? This is my soulmate. And now, during the Venus Neptune conjunction, it all kind of crumbles somehow. And sometimes that can happen with Venus Neptune. It's like the fantasy actually becomes reality, and it's kind of like seeing the Phantom of the Opera without the mask on. Like that's although Phantom of the Opera for me is one of my favorite examples of Venus in Scorpio, but Venus is in Pisces right now, so not quite. But and Lauren, you said my editor gave my memoir manuscript to a publisher on the Venus Neptune conjunction, and I'm trying to keep my feet on the ground. Oh my God. I'm in full agreement that that memoir manuscript lands it exactly in the right hands. That just feels I'm excited for you, Lauren. And I will say, my friends, I felt a lot of gratitude on Valentine's Day. So it was definitely one of the best Valentine's days I think I've ever had. And yes, I am single, so it's not like I had like this big romantic Valentine's Day. I will say, actually, last year, 2022 Valentine's Day, I did have a situationship where we like did the thing where we went out to dinner and they bought me flowers and whatever candy, and it didn't feel as good as just last or this year's Valentine's Day, which was spent with like my best friend who's a Taurus and her boyfriend who's a Libra. So I spent Valentine's Day with two Venus ruled signs, and they invited me, by the way. I didn't. They texted me and they were like, "Mal, we want you to come out to dinner with us on Valentine's Day," just 'cause they're my best friends, and also I've been third wheeling them for years at this point, so it was just kind of, it just felt more normal for me to come for me to come to their Valentine's Day celebration instead of not coming. So whatever, we went out to dinner, and it's not very often that I praise a cis straight man on Witch Church, but I'm about to praise my best friend's Libra boyfriend, because he was, I don't know, like he was, how do I put this? Like, not only did he make my best friend feel special on Valentine's Day, like he did like the balloon thing and whatever. But he also, this is kind of silly, but he bought me like a little present. Like he bought me like a little squishmallow and some ice cream, and like he thought of me too. And for me, that was such a reflection of how much he loves my best friend, because he's like, also thinking about, you know, okay, and my girlfriend's best friend, what could I do for her? Like, it was just such, like, a, I don't know, I hate to use the word, I don't know, it's not classy, but it was, like, it was just thoughtful and compassionate, and it's just, like, a silly little plush squishmallow that I love, and, like, some ice cream, and, but I'm, like, you know, that's goals for my relationship manifestation. Like, I want someone who cares about my friends and would do that for a friend, you know, or, you know, wouldn't. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Am I just blabbing? Like, on the other side of it, I think, I don't know, like, for a significant other to really care about not only you, but your friendships and, you know, send compassion to your friends. I think it's a special thing. So it was something very Venus Neptune that I didn't expect, but it ended up being a really good Valentine's Day. And I just wanted to throw that out there, that sometimes we, sometimes, like, the thing that we want reflects back to us in the material world, and we didn't even know it was something that we desired. But I just got this big reflection. I was like, oh, that's something my quote-unquote partner, future partner, would do too. Like, my future partner cares about my friends and cares to know my friends and cares to include my friends and blah, 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 blah. So, ironically, neither one of them watch Witch Church, so neither one of them will listen to this, but I just wanted to put that out there. Brianna, you said that's so sweet. What a sweet friendship to have. I love squishmallows. Me too. I love a good squishmallow. Alexandra, you said, this year I felt the love by the people that surrounded me. My birthday was celebrated in a big way. I was overwhelmed by love and recognition of my position at work. Special moment with the girls. Aw, Alexandra, and you already know this, but I'm wishing you such a great beginning to this next year of life, and I'm glad that we got to talk about, you know, your birthday chart in our last session. And yeah, so that feels good. So, anyways, enough of the fluff here, because it is Pisces season, my friends. And I'm looking down because I'm looking at my chart, but just last night around 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern time, the sun moved into Pisces. And right now we've got that moon. As of Sunday morning, we still have the moon in Aquarius, but soon, you know, the moon's going to be approaching the new moon in Pisces, right? So you're in luck, my friends, because guess what? I was born on a new moon in Pisces. I mean, my birthday's February 28th, so it's not like tomorrow is my birthday, but I know the new moon in Pisces energy well, because in a lot of ways, my lifetime or my soul's path in this lifetime is driven by the new moon in Pisces. So it's one of my favorite moments of the year, and it actually looks like we'll have the new moon around 2 a.m. Eastern time on February 20th. So most of us will be asleep, you know, during this new moon in Pisces. Now that I know it's kind of in the middle of the night, at least in the Western Hemisphere, I'm thinking it might be a really good night to set some intentions about the dream world. And you know how they say, like, if you kind of write about what you're dreaming, or you write about an intention before you fall asleep, and maybe see if your dreams can reveal something to you about that intention or about that subject, that would be a really good thing to do tonight. Why is that? Well, Pisces is kind of the ruler of places where we are kind of in limbo, if that makes sense. And also, we could say endings, but I'm thinking more of like Pisces and its relation to the in-between space. If you think of the tarot, the first card of the tarot is the Fool, and the last card of the tarot is the World. But what's in between the Fool and the World? That's kind of like Pisces energy. And if you think about it, the dream world is a in-between state that we all go into, whether we remember our dreams or not. And I'm thinking this Pisces new moon is a lot about maybe embracing the in-between state, you know? And it's so funny because I kind of felt like October, November, December, I was kind of on a high. And this past month or so, I've been feeling, you know, kind of like the little bit of like the seasonal kind of funk, and also feeling like I'm in this in-between space and I'm not making enough progress, yet it's not quite the right time to actually launch certain things or move forward with certain things. So I've been feeling kind of like stuck in being forced in the in-between space, right? And last night, y'all already know I did something to celebrate the first day of Pisces season. And someone that I work with at Whole Foods, she's also a triple water sign like me. She's Pisces. Well, she's Pisces rising, Pisces moon, Cancer sun, and I'm Cancer rising, Pisces sun, Pisces moon. So we were like, oh my God, we have to celebrate the first day of Pisces season. So we went to like a small local concert last night that was really fun to celebrate Pisces season. And something that she reflected back to me is that sometimes when you're coming off like a high and you're kind of coming back to equilibrium, it can feel like you're plateauing, but you're actually not. You're just coming back to equilibrium and you're coming back to like a neutral place. And for some reason that really resonated with me because of our capitalistic conditioning, blah, 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 we might view the sort of in-between space as a negative or as a plateau or as, you know, I'm not being productive enough or I'm not, you know, going, launching, doing everything, right? There's like this sort of, oh God, the in-between space is not as good, quote unquote, as this highly productive state where we're manifesting everything and everything's coming to us and blah, 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 blah. But what if the in-between state was more neutral, right? What if we viewed it as neutral, but also slightly a gift? Because it's giving us that time to rest and recuperate before the replenishment of the cycle, which happens in Aries season, right? And this is why, can I just say, this is why I think some people get really moody during Pisces season, because Pisces season has that inherent in-between limbo, kind of the bardo purgatory kind of state where we're like, oh, I'm, you know, there's something kind of neutralizing here. And there's a call to kind of go into my dreams and go more internal and really internally align with what I'm going to do in Aries season and Taurus season, right? But like Pisces season is the last step. And again, people get moody because people don't want to do that. And they approach the limbo with so much resistance, right? So I'm thinking too with this new moon in Pisces, you know, later, way late at night, let's just call it tomorrow. Monday's new moon in Pisces, February 20th, 1 degree Pisces. It's like, ooh, how can I surrender, which is a key Pisces phrase. How can I surrender to this idea of being with the in-between, being with the limbo? And I think, too, as I'm looking at this new moon, looks like the Pisces new moon happens while Venus is still at 29 degrees Pisces. Okay? So the new moon happens. Boom. Venus is still at 29 degrees Pisces. Less than an hour later, Venus moves into Aries. So it's like Venus is at her final degree in Pisces. Exalted in Pisces. And she blesses this new moon. And what's more in limbo than a planet at 29 degrees, right? So it's almost like this Venus in Pisces, who's kind of sitting way at the end of Pisces, 29 degrees. This new moon is way at the beginning at 1 degree Pisces. It's like we have these two sandwiches or these two bread pieces at these very sacred degrees of the Piscean energy. That just means something to me. And, you know, it's funny because I've been writing an article about Saturn in Pisces. And if I can fucking finish it, I mean, pray for me. It hasn't been fun, but it'll hopefully be published in the, Evolving Astrologer magazine at some point next month. But, I've noticed in writing about Saturn in Pisces, Saturn will move into Pisces mid-March 2023. It's sort of, kinda, really hard sometimes to put Piscean energy into words, to really verbalize an energy that is inherently intangible, that is inherently not of the material world, you know? And there's something here about, you know, I don't know. There's just something here about really surrendering to what is unseen, what is intangible. And here's where I'm gonna bring up an archetype. And I was giving a reading yesterday, and this archetype came up for my client. Let me see if it's... You guys are like, oh, geez. Let's see here. Oh, here it is. Okay, good. So this comes from the Kim Kranz Wild Unknown archetype deck. But the archetype is the Pilgrim. And the Pilgrim feels inherently Piscean to me. Because if you think about what the Pilgrim does, they go into uncharted territory. And they're basically making a blind... I don't know. Like, they're blindly trusting in unknown forces. And they're blindly trusting that unknown forces are in support of them. Right? And I think the Pilgrim is such a good archetype to work with, not only on this Pisces new moon tomorrow, but also in Pisces season in general. Because if you think about it, once Venus moves into Aries, Venus starts heading towards that conjunction with Jupiter in Aries. That's going to be a really spicy moment. Right? That's going to be like the moment when, I don't know, like the Pilgrim has some sort of arrival to the new space. I'm seeing when this Venus conjuncts Jupiter actually on my birthday, February 28th. So between now and February 28th, how do we, you know, absorb this pilgrim archetype, and how do we trust in the unknown forces, which again is something that Pisces teaches us, and also why a lot of people lose it during Pisces season, because we're not really taught very often how to do that. Or we might be taught it in like a superficial way. Like, I'm thinking about how, this is me assuming that most of us have some sort of like Christian upbringing. I think it's similar. I see one of my students, Alice, here from Malaysia. So I think Alice could probably relate to being raised in a Muslim culture. There's sort of this discord of, like, how are we taught to trust in the Christian Abrahamic religion upbringings? It's almost kind of like, I don't know, it kind of feels like, just trust it and don't worry about it, right? Like, there's not room for questioning. Or there's not room for having a discourse with God. It's just kind of like, just trust, it'll be fine. But you're like, no, I have real anxiety, you know? And I have real things that I'm worried about. And how am I supposed to trust that God is with me or whatever? And I think the pilgrim is a good example of that. Like, there's so many unknowns as they sort of migrate into this unknown territory. There is a little bit of, like, a fight with God. It's sort of, like, Jobian for me. Like, this sort of, how do I trust in these unknown forces that I can't see? And I think there's also a questioning period of that Pisces kind of invites us into, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm just thinking about, like, all right, I was raised Catholic in a very lazy way, you know? And I'm like, okay, what did the Catholic Church, like, what would have I learned about trust in Sunday school? And again, it just feels so like, yeah, just trust in God, you're done, no question. Don't question it. It's like, how does that help me? Sometimes it helps us to question the universe and be in discourse with the universe and be in discourse with our levels of not trusting and why we may feel that way, right? And specifically, I know I'm blabbing, y'all, but I hope this is helpful in some way. But specifically yesterday, when I was with my client who got the pilgrim for her archetype, she was actually talking about how a lot of her ancestors came from Ireland, and there's like sort of the Irish potato famine kind of trauma running through her ancestral line, right? And there's something there about, you know, our ancestors' relationship with trust and how, I don't know, like, how difficult it probably was for them to trust during these times when their Maslow's hierarchy of needs were not being met. You know, like, trust is an extremely difficult thing when we feel like our literal root chakra needs are not being met. And I also wonder about our ancestors' relationships with trust as they sort of grappled with not having their Maslow's hierarchy of needs covered, right? I don't know, just a thought. And Katie, you said, yes, it's like Gnosticism for pilgrims just helped cover up, quell questions about colonialism instead of guiding a Gnostic, aka mystic, relationship with God or faith. Yeah, thank you. That you, yes, that is exactly what I was getting at. Like this sort of religious conditioning that just says, basically, trust and shut up. Like, you know, like just trust in it. You know, and it's like, how am I supposed to do that without questioning my relationship with myself, my universe, my spirituality, my God? You know, and that's kind of what Pisces season is about, right? And if we're looking at Pisces, who is often related to like a Christ-like figure, you know, I think that is the energy of Christ when we really look into like who he was, not as a Christian, you know, not as a Christian propaganda, you know, kind of figure, but just as a spiritual being. You know, he was qu in question with God. You know, he did have those moments where there were was inherent mistrust, and he had to go through things in order to find his way back to trust with the universe. And I could go on and on about how I truly don't think the spirit of Jesus Christ ever wanted, you know, Christianity to be formed on this level. That's not to offend anybody, but when I really feel like I tap into his spirit, it's, yeah. But anyways, Al, you said my therapist has been highly suggesting that I do more dream work, especially to go into these underworld places and explore. Very auspicious Piscean timing. Exactly. And Emmy, you said Pisces Saturn is so hard to explain because Pisces just want to free float and Saturn wants to contain. Exactly. Just now I typed several things, then backspace because I didn't feel like it made sense. It's kind of like trying to put a fence in the ocean. Like, how are you supposed to explain the planet of foundations in a very cerebral, limbo, watery sign? You know, so you're getting it, Emmy. So friends, that for me is this Pisces new moon, the pilgrim archetype, and how the pilgrim sometimes has a struggle with faith. And how, again, kind of like going back to what Katie said, how like this colonialist or this sort of I guess like puritanical conditioning that, you know, teaches us just to trust and shut up. Like, you know, like trust in what's being told to you and be quiet. And where we wonder why our relationship with trusting the universe is wounded, because a lot of the times religious conditioning has taught us not to question it. But this Pisces new moon, followed by, you know, Saturn going into Pisces in less than a month, it's like, no, do question it. You know, question your relationship with faith. You're gonna be doing it for the next 3 years with Saturn and Pisces. I mean, Saturn and Pisces is all about how can I build my new foundation on faith and trust and hope, which is really hard for Saturn to do, right? So, how can we get to this sort of higher frequency of the pilgrim who's not like the puritanical colonialist, but is more about going into uncharted territory, both physically and spiritually, and learning to communicate and have a two-sided relationship with the universe. Because the universe does talk to us all the time, you know? And God, I will say too, God will never, ever, ever be mad that you're questioning the force itself, you know. God would, or the universe would never be mad that a human person would be having like an existential battle with trust and faith and trying to find what their relationship is with the universe that would never happen. So I think we can be curious about our relationship with the universe. We can be mad at the universe sometimes. We can for sure lose faith in the universe, and we can come back to that at the same time. It's like a process, and I think that's something that Pisces, the true, Christ archetype or Pisces archetype teaches us. Sarah, you said, love this message. Trust is my word of the year, and this is adding a lot of nuance to that. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad. And Katie, you said pilgrims also had the whole idea of settling the land and nature, which is like a fence in the ocean. Yeah. Yep. And that kind of reminds me, now I'm going to get off topic, but I just want to say, I saw this like amazing TikTok from this indigenous person who was talking about like the discord of climate grief. And they were talking about how climate grief may be inherently just like this white person creation, because this whole time for hundreds of years, indigenous people have been having climate grief, because they see like what the colonialism and the sort of capitalism has done to the landscape of nature and our relationship with nature, which is literally an exact reflection of our relationship with the universe, right? Because I think fundamentally nature is God in a lot of ways. So, when we're not in harmony with nature, we're not in harmony with the universe, and et cetera, et cetera. But that really blew my mind. I was like, yeah, no shit. Yeah, this whole, I have climate grief, I have climate anxiety. Not to say it's invalid. I mean, I think it's completely valid. And if we're not having climate anxiety, we're not paying enough attention, I guess. But at the same time, hearing this indigenous person talk, and being like, yeah, no shit. The indigenous people have known this for hundreds, if not thousands of years. I was like, oh, yeah, totally. Thanks for pointing out where my white privilege has kind of blinded me from that perspective, So something else, another layer of the pilgrim archetype, if we're really unpacking this, right? Emmy, you said, I always thought of my Venus in Virgo opposite Saturn in Pisces squaring Mars in Gemini placements as my questioning everything placement. Yeah, exactly. And that's the good thing about Pisces. Again, Pisces and Virgo question everything, but it's in a different way. And Gemini, I guess. We'll say all the... let's throw all the mutable signs in there. Sagittarius, Pisces, Virgo, and Gemini. The great questioners of the zodiac, the mutable sign questioners. They all question the universe differently, right? And how to ask a Piscean question versus a Virgo question versus a Gemini question versus a Sagittarius question. I'm not sure the answer to any of those questions, but, it's kind of fun to think about how all of the mutable signs provoke us into some sort of discord with either the world or the universe or our belief systems. Okay. I'm blabbing, my friends. I know I'm blabbing. Sorry. It's my Mercury. Yep. It's my Mercury return today. Mercury's at 11 degrees Aquarius. I've got Mercury at 12 degrees Aquarius. So I'm, my blabbing is out of control. Can't help it. Okay. That's what I got for y'all for this week. Examining our relationship to trust. What really is it? How were our ancestors conditioned to trust? How were our how is our puritanical Christian conditioning, how does it, even if we don't identify as Christian, how does that influence our relationship with trust? What is the true meaning of the pilgrim archetype, and how to approach this uncharted territory that this new moon in Pisces is bringing to us, how to decolonize that. So really just really basic, you know, concepts should be easy to answer this week. let's pull one more card. Let's do an animal card. And while I'm doing that, feel free to type your questions below. When it comes to if you have anything you would like me to pull on, or if you need a prayer or a card. I also put this in my note here, but I have I'll have this in my bio, or if you're listening on the podcast, I'll have this in my show notes. Witch Church, we've canceled Patreon, and we are moving over to Substack. So on Substack, you can become a supporter of Witch Church and just my creative entrepreneurial endeavors for $5 a month. And I have a turtle goal, which is my way of saying, like, it's a slow but steady goal of getting my Substack to support me with $500 a month. So the math on that is I would need roughly 100 people to be on my Substack for $5 a month. So I feel like it's definitely possible, and if you feel like you want to support that goal and you get something out of Witch Church, or you just want to send me a little bit of support in a monetary way, you can head on over to my Substack and become a supporter. It would mean a lot to me. But also know that I always say this, that Witch Church is fundamentally a free offering, and I welcome everybody, and just even you being here and having your energy present is a great support in itself. So just wanted to throw that out there. And collectively, y'all, we got the Scorpion, but it came out in reverse. And it's so funny because I have a Scorpion painting in my bathroom. And last night when my triple water sign friend was over, she was like, "Wait, who's a Scorpio? Is your roommate a Scorpio?" And I was like, no. I liked that painting, and I bought it in 2022 when my animal of the year was Scorpion. And it kept reminding me that the Scorpion takes really bold action and is able to, like, take these risks and kind of use their frustration as a slingshot into the next step. And she was like, "Oh, that makes so much sense." That being said, the Scorpion comes out in reverse for us right now. So, you know, I think this goes back to the Piscean surrender we may be actually being called into. Like, save those fiery, ballsy actions for just a little bit, you know, just a little bit longer. We're in this limbo, and things are really about to shift soon, you know. So I think, you know, be more of the secretive in the cave Scorpion who's kind of planning their next move and scheming and preparing, and you know, be careful about what you push for and force into creation right now, because it could potentially be better launched in just a little bit, right? So Lauren, okay. Lauren, you said, "I would love an anchor card for the week." Yeah, let's see here. It's an archetype kind of day. Okay. So, Lauren, you have the mountain and the dead end. So this for me tells a story about when we're insecure or doubting our next step, when we're like looking behind us and we're like, wait, if this doesn't work out, like how do I go back? And it feels like there's a dead end behind you where you've crossed the threshold of like you're not going back, you know? And I think with the mountain here, it's like if the dead end is behind you and the mountain is in front of you, it's kind of like starting to be at peace with this new journey. And although you've been on this new journey for about a year, year and a half now, still, it's like you're still very much at the beginning or the base of climbing this mountain. And I think the fact that like this person is kind of hanging out in the core of the mountain, I really love that because, it feels to me like they're at one with the journey itself, right? And they're not looking behind them, but they're just kind of at the base of this mountain, looking up and knowing that this mountain is theirs to climb. Okay. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you want to work with the mountain archetype this week. Maybe look up some stories about famous mountain climbers or people who have done like Mount Everest, or I don't know, like it could be helpful to kind of relate somehow to their story, even climb a mountain if you're by one. Once I had a very mystical experience climbing a mountain, so even if it's a little hill in your backyard, might be helpful. Okay. Tune in to tarot. You said, have you ever used the cat tarot? I do not have it. I don't think I could read cards with that deck, but it is very, very cute. Emma, you said, I would love a card or advice for recent anxiousness about trusting with the flow of things. You see what I'm talking about, my friends? You see? This is why Pisces season sometimes makes us a little anxious, because it's making us kind of, okay. It's making us kind of, question our relationship with the universe. Okay. Emma, you got the heart. Okay. You know, look at that. I love this card. So the heart archetype helps us get in touch with our heart space, which is inherently different than our mental space. That's why we have that cliche saying, you know, I'm torn between my head and my heart. You know, like my head's telling me one thing, my heart's telling me another thing. And it reminds me too that if we're truly following our heart, that doesn't mean that we have no anxious thoughts, because a lot of the times, anxiety spurs a bunch of lies about our situation. You know, you can't always trust the voice of anxiety. So I wonder if there's a little bit more of a heart chakra focus this week versus a brain focus this week, Emma, because I think if you trust your stories and your narratives a little too much this week, it might take you away from the core of what you really believe in and what you really, why you're doing the things that you're doing, which is much more of a heart journey. Okay, so maybe reconnecting with the heart would be a good thing to do this week. My Rona recovery, you said, how to best support my Pisces 13-year-old right now. Okay, so you got the temple. You know, again, I don't know what's going on with this, with your kid. So take this with a grain of salt, but the temple is kind of about connecting with our spiritual sides. And I will say, if your Pisces sun is around 13 years old, they're around the time of their first Jupiter return, which means they probably have, they either have Jupiter in Pisces or Jupiter in Aries. And during my first Jupiter return, when I was 12 years old, I got my first astrology book, you know? If your Pisces person is inclined in any way towards the spiritual world or, you know, reading tarot, getting into astrology, or just kind of renewing their faith in the universe, you know, whatever the temple means to you, maybe spending more time in nature or, I don't know, like doing some crystal healing. Again, there's not, I don't think we can completely think that metaphysical things will solve our problems, right? But I do think they're a great support, and having knowledge of them can be life-changing, and maybe even your son or your child having a sort of understanding of their astrology, I don't know, could be helpful. Am I crazy? My Rona recovery, take that with a grain of salt. If it doesn't resonate, but that's what I'm getting. Sarah, you said, may I have a card for the week? Sarah, you have the Mentor. Ooh, okay, I like that. This is making me think that if you need advice, help, or guidance, seek it. You know, this might have to do with your entrepreneurial endeavors. This may have to do with different other income streams that you've thought about. But I think, yeah, seeking out a mentor, someone who's done it or someone who's doing something that you want to be doing. Even being like, hey, can I take 15 minutes of your time? Can we do a little Zoom call? Or can I buy you coffee? Can we chat? There's something here about seeking out those who have done something that you want to do. And it's not necessarily that you're following in their direct footsteps, but you're kind of getting ideas from other people about where to start. That's what I'm getting. And this could apply to all kinds of areas of focus, but it mainly feels like it's kind of has to do with career life path kind of stuff. Allie, you said, I would love a card for insight about a first date tomorrow. Okay. Cool, Allie. First date. The ocean. Quite a Piscean first date, right? Getting the ocean archetype. And I would say, you know, maybe you're kind of looking for, maybe there is something vulnerable about this date. You know, maybe you're being vulnerable or opening up more than you typically would on a first date, but also in your availability to connect in a vulnerable way, you're also kind of being like, wow, like I've grown. Like 20 years ago, maybe I wouldn't have, you know, been myself, quote unquote, on a first date. Or I wouldn't have, you know, really been that honest about where I'm at. But there's something about vulnerability on both sides kind of being mutually attractive. So I think don't be afraid to tell the truth. You know, don't be afraid to really, I don't know, dive into who you are. I know that's cheesy, but I think, I don't know, first dates can be hard because it's like, am I really being myself or am I being, you know, a first date version of myself because I want this person to like me, you know? So that could be something that you're kind of thinking about. Armchair Astrologer, you said, hey, Mal, I would love a card for the new moon. Let's see. Ooh, the thread. Okay, so I'm thinking about the thread as sort of similar to, like, Hansel and Gretel, like, the sort of following the breadcrumbs through the forest. I think the thread archetype kind of helps us do that. Like, it threads together these little pieces or these little hints of where to go next. And I'm getting, armchair astrologer, that your next step might not be, like, big and obvious and jumping off the cliff, but it might be more of a series of little steps that you're taking, following little breadcrumbs in order to get to the next step. And after following all these little breadcrumbs, you know, you'll finally see how they kind of add up to something bigger. Like, sometimes the next step, again, isn't this huge ass, you know, big thing. Like, sometimes it's a small thing that helps us accumulate to a bigger move. Emmy, you said, in relation to this Pisces religious conditioning stuff, can I get a card for dealing with my family troubles? I was really struggling with my way is the way. There's no room for debate. Talks again. Okay. Yeah, let's see. The inner eternal child. The inner child. I'm wondering if there is some sort of inner child wound that's actually motivating you to even enter into these conversations. You know, because I think sometimes the inner child who really wants acceptance, because acceptance from their family system would equate to being loved and valued and accepted, you know? So, you know, the inner child is going to want to be recognized and validated. But unfortunately, our family systems don't always give us that. But the wounded inner child might try to keep pursuing that in the wrong places, right? So that's why, you know, for instance, someone could be 50 or 60 years old and still going up to their mom and being like, hey, I got this promotion at work. And, like, just waiting for their mom or their dad to finally give them the thumbs up they've been waiting for since they were five. And it's sad, but sometimes I think we need to recognize that, you know, we're not going to get the validation that we're seeking from that source. And in order to protect our inner child, we might have to have boundaries about just not entering into those kind of debates and finding that validation elsewhere, or even giving ourselves that validation, or being our own parent to give ourselves that inner child acceptance. I hope that makes sense, Emmy. And I might be, do keep in mind, I might be projecting onto you in some way. But that's what comes up. It feels like, ooh, the inner child is very much at play in this dynamic, and maybe reflecting on how that might be. Alexandra, you said, can I please get a card to kind of give me some guidance for the week? Oh, a lot is going on with my hubby in the hospital. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm in full agreement, Alexandra, that, you know, whatever's going on with your husband, that he recovers quickly and fully and is able to get all the medical help that he needs. And you got the ring, which is funny because, you know, something's going on with your husband. So, you know, the ring brings up commitments, and you also got Gnosis, which is the card that has to do with truth and has to do with our inner truth versus the truth we've been taught. So a lot of what we were just talking about with the Piscean archetype, right? And I think the advice for this week, Alexandra, is knowing that deep down your intuition is really strong and you know what is best for you. You may even know, you know, your husband's energy better than a doctor who just met him. Actually, you definitely know your husband's energy better than a doctor who just met them, right? So using your intuition to guide and stay empowered through this medical process and really helping both you and your husband center on what feels true to them and advocating for that knowledge. Yeah, so really being a good advocate for yourself and your husband during this time. That feels right. Morgan, you said, I'd love a card pulled for the week ahead. Positive guidance. I found out I'm having a baby girl in July. Okay, Morgan. Little Cancer or Leo, I guess. So that's exciting. And Morgan, you got the Judge, which makes me feel like there's some, I don't know, maybe there is some kind of literal legality stuff coming up with this kid. I mean, you don't have to share anything that feels confidential, but I know it can be difficult when there's, you know, some conflict between parents and the different boundaries that you may have to have when it comes to this kid and, you know, what your pregnancy looks like and what co-parenting looks like. And I think there's something here about using this time to really envision what is best for both you and your children when it comes to co-parenting dynamics. And maybe there are some literal legal things that you are taking care of at this moment. But I would actually also, you know, I know you're one of my tarot students, Morgan, so take out the Justice card. That very much relates to the Judge in some way, and maybe marinate on the Justice card this week and see what the Justice card might be communicating to you intuitively. That's how I feel about that. Katie, you said, I would love some guidance from the cards on a sweet new love connection and how I can best hold and give space for what they're going through right now. The Unseen. Yeah. So, okay. You know, low-hanging fruit here. Yeah, there's things that are unseen about this situation. So I think the advice feels like context is important, and it may be wise to just acknowledge that this connection does have a lot of potential, but also this is a new person. You don't have maybe context in their life yet, or you don't have that much context about who they are. Like, you might know the basics, but you're still getting their history, you know, and you're getting like what their life is really all about. And from there, I'm getting this sort of sense with the Unseen, like, you're still learning about them. So it's hard to offer support or be support to someone that you're still in the preliminary stages of getting to know them, you know? So it may be, you know, even though this person is going through it right now, fundamentally, they're at the same level as anybody else you would have had, you know, a month or so worth of dates with. And I think the universe is reminding you that you're still getting to know them, and you're still also allowed to put them through your own, not tests, but you're still kind of determining if they're a person you want to be in your life, right? And just because they're going through a hard time doesn't mean you should blindly offer them all this support when you're still figuring out if they have a puzzle piece in your life as well. So that's what I'm getting. Like, there's some kind of healthy skepticism that the universe is saying, okay, this person might be a great potential partner. But still approach this the same way as you would any other person that you just met. You know, collect the data. That's what I'm getting. Pam, you said I would love a card for a new relationship. Okay, Pam. Let's see here. The Mother. Okay, interesting. And I wonder if keeping up with your own mothering, not just, I know you have a kid. I'm not necessarily talking about your mothering relationship to your kid, but the mothering relationship to yourself. I think really staying on top of that in the beginnings of this relationship could really help with some anxious attachment tendencies and really still carving out that time for you, taking care of yourself, and making sure that you're nurturing your inner child through this sort of trust building phase. And this is interesting because it feels like similar to what I just told Katie, like, you're still getting to know this person. You're still collecting data about them. You're still learning to trust them. You're still learning their stories and their narratives. And while that process is happening, make sure you're also honoring yourself and your rituals, and you're not, you know, throwing that all out the window just because we kind of have a honeymoon stage kind of thing going on, you know, which I totally am guilty of, right? So it's interesting that that would come out. Okay, I am, I think that might be our last poll. If I didn't get to your question, just know that I'm in full agreement of everything kind of working out for you, and I'm in full agreement that the universe will answer your question this week in some way. I'm just reading these comments here. Emma, I'm glad you found that relevant. My Rona recovery, you said you're not crazy. Thank you. Okay, so glad. So glad maybe I got to the crux of your Pisces child. Armchair astrologer, you said that totally resonates. And Alexandra, you said, thank you. I will follow my intuition and make the best use of the energy around us. Exactly. Emmy, I totally feel your pain on that. Definitely. It's a hard place to be in, for sure. Pam, you said Katie's reading could totally be applied to me. The rest was spot on. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah. Feels like you and Katie, you had the serendipitous cross reading there. So, okay, my friends. Lots of love to you. Thanks so much for celebrating the first day of Pisces season with me. And happy Pisces new moon. Let me know how it goes. I don't know which church is going to happen next week. We're going to play it by ear, just because it's like a preliminary birthday weekend for me, and I have some plans. So we'll see. We'll see if mommy's hungover on Sunday morning. Okay, so we'll just see how it goes. All right, so wishing you all a wonderful week ahead. Let's talk again soon. Okay, bye-bye.